What are we talking about today?
Well, first we say, here we are.
Here we are.
Another podcast.
Another podcast.
Discovering and unlocking your brain's superpowers.
Yes.
And training your brain to work for you, not against you.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're talking about willpower and won't power. Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
They're very similar, and it's the same part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, but they're also very different.
Okay.
So willpower and won't power are skills. And they're easy to build as a skill. But the difference is with willpower, you're doing something. You're creating energy to do something. With won't power, you're using energy to not do something. So willpower is like overcoming inertia. So when the rocket is taking off, there's a whole bunch of fuel that's needed to get it moving, to build momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So that initial to get the thing moving takes a ton of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with willpower.
Mm-hmm.
To form a new habit,
mm-hmm.
or to do something you don't want to do,
mm-hmm.
or that big rock. Everybody has a big rock in the day, right? The big thing they have to do for the day.
It's like pushing them towards it. Is that what you're talking about?
It's getting enough
energy
mm-hmm. to move the big rock. When you start moving a flywheel, it's hard at first because it has inertia. But then once you get it moving, it's not so bad. And that's mm-hmm. the case with a lot of the big projects in our lives. And a lot of people say tackle it first in the day. And the reason they say that is because you have the most willpower in the morning of
really?
Any time of day, because you've just slept all night, hopefully. And when you're sleeping, you're detoxing,
mm-hmm.
you're releasing stress,
mm-hmm.
and you are creating space in your PFC and giving your prefrontal cortex energy back.
Mm.
Then throughout your day, things that you're doing are using willpower and won't power, and it all comes from the same PFC. You're making decisions. They call that decision fatigue. The more decisions you make, the more fatigued you get. That comes from the PFC. And so by lunchtime, it's about half depleted. And then by the time you get home from work,
it's completely depleted.
It's basically offline. That's why you find yourself eating chips, and your willpower and your won't power is gone. And you're eating easy foods, you know, because your willpower's gone, so you don't want to do the cooking. Your won't power's gone, and so you can't say no to the easy things that are just right there ready to eat, because you're hungry, probably emotionally hungry, and you want energy back because you're feeling depleted, your PFC especially, so you think food is going to help with that, and it will in the short term, especially sugar in the short term. And so when your PFC is offline, the parent brain, your toddler brain comes online. Toddler brain's always online. But when your PFC is activated and working, the parent brain is able to overpower the toddler brain. Toddler is the subconscious and the rest of your brain that wants instant gratification. It says the sugar's good because it'll give us instant energy. Let's just do it. But the parent brain isn't there anymore saying no, because, you know, all the reasons why no sugar. So that's why people struggle so much at the end of the day with won't power is what they notice the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then also with the big rock. If they didn't get the big rock done in the morning when they had all the willpower reserves, they're certainly not going to do it at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. They're just going to say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow for sure.
Okay, let me ask you a question. How can you build that
mm-hmm.
to get more energy at the end of the day
mm-hmm.
in order to get those things done? Because a lot of people, like, they're trying to work on things outside of their job, right? They
yep.
go to work and, like, they become really tired. They work, anywhere from a 8-hour day to a 12-hour day.
Yep.
And then they have no willpower left for, you know, whether it's eating or exercise or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
How would you build that up so that you do have energy in the later part of the day? Is there a way to do that?
Long term, it's beefing up your PFC
okay.
with things like meditation and a lot of the other podcasts that we've done
right.
or work on the PFC.
Right.
Short term, you really have to do it when you're starting to get fatigued. So the first step is notice that you're getting fatigued. Because if you don't notice and 5, 6 p.m. rolls around, you had a really hard day with lots of decisions and lots of stress, then it's almost like it's too late at that point. Because the toddler is so in charge, it's going to make you not think of the PFC and the willpower, won't power. It's just going to totally take over. It's going to scream loud for the wrong things to do. And they need to do the wrong things. So it's noticing. And then saying, okay, taking notice of how much energy I've got up there, what's my willpower, won't power level energy, and then if it's starting to get low, then you say, okay, what are the strategies to get it back quick before it's too late? There's other things you can do like stress release. That's meditation is stress release, but you can do some breathing exercises for stress release, which creates more space in your PFC. You can do a quick little workout. My favorite stress busting workout is isometrics.
Interesting.
So I, because you can go instant maximal contraction. You don't have to do reps to ramp up to a maximal fail point. You can do it instantly. And I just push my hands together as hard as I possibly can. I have an infrared sauna, and when I'm in there, I'm doing isometrics to get to the sweat point faster.
Because you're warming up your body.
Exactly. And the sauna is a nice stress release, but this contraction is a nice stress release because we hold stress in our soft tissues. And most people hold the most stress in the soft tissues of their upper back and neck. But people are different. But we hold stress in all of our soft tissue. So any muscle that's contracting counts for stress release. And when you can go to instant maximal contraction, then what you're doing is you, like a deep tissue massage, you are necessarily squeezing stress out of the muscle.
That's so interesting.
And then as you exhale, focusing on exhaling stress and tension, then that's a great quick way to get rid of stress. And again, that's 2 or 3 minutes.
You're just creating space, basically.
Yeah.
You're creating the ability to push through things or like distracting yourself so that you can get that thing done that you need to get done.
Yeah.
And just kind of waking yourself up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the meditation is easier. It takes less inertia to sit down and do that than it does maximal isometrics. But those are two, you know, the kind of extremes, sides of the spectrum, options, quick things that you can do.
Right.
And the other thing about won't power is with that big rock, any time of day, but especially towards the end of the day, oh man, I got to get that project done. Well, if you have to, absolutely have to, like tomorrow, because you'll be fired if you don't, then that's enough of leverage to get you to do it.
Yeah.
But if there's not something that urgent enough leverage, you're just going to procrastinate it.
Yeah.
And you'll think of other things to do instead.
Yeah.
So emails, for instance.
Maybe we'll do that.
Feel great to get to, it's like checking something off the list. And more than half of our emails are pretty quick to get done, under 2 minutes. And so it gives you a sense of accomplishment when you get that. So your toddler brain says, oh no, that's too hard, too much inertia. Let's do something with less inertia that's easier so we can still feel that sense of accomplishment. Let's get some emails done. Or you'll be distracted by something else, you know, some other shiny squirrel. Then you go in that direction and, or, you know, you even clean the, something else you don't really want to do.
See,
clean the
so,
kitchen.
That's so funny that you said that because I was like thinking that while you were talking. I was like, every single time I have to go do something or like I need to get something done that's really big, I will clean. It's like my way of like distracting myself, or I'll cook dinner or like just like other things that they do need to get done, but they're not like top priority.
Yep.
And I place them above. I was like, well, if I don't get the kitchen clean, then I won't feel organized and then I won't be able to do that thing. And then it gets later and then like, oh, well now it's late. And it's just like little tiny little like distractions / excuses on top of each other.
Right. And then you don't have time for the big rock.
No.
So you go, oh, well, I have to do it tomorrow because I don't have time now.
That's like a poison is people say that a lot is I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, it's all right. I'll just do it tomorrow.
Yep.
And tomorrow turns into never or seldomly.
Yep.
Just that little decision is actually a really big one if you continue to do that.
And it eats away
at you,
at your willpower and you.
Mm.
And your willpower gets weaker over time, not stronger.
So it's not just your confidence, it's your willpower too.
Yep, it's both, yeah.
Hmm.
So we've talked in the past about putting names on things.
Yeah.
Well, you can also name your distractions.
Ooh.
Oh, here's,
that would be interesting.
Here's Emily email trying to distract me from the big rock.
I like it.
So give it a name, then, because your PFC does that. And so now you're bringing your PFC back online. And then even if it's just back online momentarily, mm-hmm. now you've got a little more energy and a little more willpower, because that's where the willpower comes from, and willpower.
So how would you use that with food?
Chester chip craving. You could name it.
Oh, Chester.
Yeah.
I think so, Chess. I was like, chess or chips? So I was like, I mean, I guess you can pick one. Do I play chess or do I eat the chips? Well, I think the chips are being named.
Chess.
I'm so sorry.
That's a lot of inertia.
Yeah, I was like,
should I start a big chess game or should I just eat some chips?
No.
I really admire people that are good at chess. That's a great example of something that you're really using your PFC, because you got to think way ahead.
Yeah, problem solving.
Foresight comes from the PFC.
It's problem solving. Any kind of like games that you can use to problem solve, I feel like would actually enhance like your willpower and also like your, what would I say? It would be like, I wouldn't say your willpower, but just your ability to, like you said, wake up your PFC, because you're having to be present and in the moment in order to get those things done and plan ahead.
Yeah.
Like you said, so not exactly related to willpower, but definitely the PFC.
And that's what separates us from all the other animals on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other animal that will ever learn to play chess well. No other animal can think more than one or two steps ahead. They cannot simulate their future. We can only do that. And that you have to be able to do that when you play chess.
Yeah.
Simulate scenarios.
It's interesting that you say that too, because that kind of goes into people overthinking about their future.
Yeah.
Because they're able to go like way far ahead and create scenarios and stories like we've talked about in our other podcasts. And people create like these things in their head that aren't even real, and it creates like a lot of anxiety because we are able. So it's like a blessing and a curse, and that's why it's really important to like have control over your PFC and like, you know, practice those things and practice your willpower, because it actually will enhance like your happiness and enhance your confidence and enhance like possibly even anxiety, because you're not thinking so far ahead in the future or like all the what ifs or whatever, because you're focused on what's going on right now.
Yes. And when you're doing that, when you're doing all that hard work simulation, all these different scenarios, most people go to worst case scenario.
Of course, yeah.
And that causes stress.
Fear.
And so the simulation takes energy from your PFC, and then the stress from what you just simulated takes more energy from the PFC. Mm-hmm. So you're really working your PFC down. That's why there's so many verses in the Bible about not stressing.
Yeah.
Not worrying even about tomorrow. Hmm. And how, you know, God says we make plans, but he directs our steps. So if we can just surrender and just give it to him, he knows what's coming. And there's no way for us to know. So,
well, that's true.
It's good to plan.
Yeah, and that's true for anything. It's like, even if you don't have faith, for example, which you and I do, but if someone doesn't have faith, then it doesn't really matter, because you as a human being, you do not know. You are not like a future teller. Like, you will never know what's going on in the future. And there is actually a lot of power in that, because it means that all we have is right now, and you just control what you can control, and then you move on.
Right.
And having control of your PFC is like something that you can do by doing these things.
Yep.
So.
Yep. And most multitaskers are more likely to give in to impulse. They have less impulse control. The people that are really good at multitasking also have a shorter attention span. Mm-hmm. So the impulse control is just jacked.
Mm-hmm.
So when people brag about being a really good multitasker, it's really not something to brag about.
Right.
it's some people have to do it. It's part of their job. Mm-hmm. But if you find yourself bragging about multitasking, you should start meditating immediately. It's not something you really want to be good at. It's not mm-hmm. something to be proud of, because the most successful people out there, and I put quotes on that because, you know, most people gauge success on, you know, by accumulation of money and stuff. But the real movers and shakers out there, the doers out there, can focus like nobody's business. Mm-hmm. They might be able to multitask too, but they're really good at focusing. And when they have to do it, they can do it.
Yeah. Which takes, focus takes a lot of discipline.
Yep.
Like a lot of discipline.
Which could be a whole podcast in itself. We should do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so too, because I was actually talking to my fiance the other night about discipline, and we were talking about how it's such an important habit to have is self-discipline. Because, like, for example, when you're growing up, you have your parents. They're there to discipline you and guide your steps and do all those things. But then when you grow up and you become an adult, now you have to parent yourself. And you go through that period of time where you're trying to figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm. And it really, once you start getting out in the world and you see all these patterns, you see that discipline and, like, consistency and a focus is truly what leads to success, no matter what it is. It doesn't have to be towards money. It doesn't have to be toward, it could be anything. It could be just like fitness related, for example, like getting something done, like a triathlon, or just going to the gym on a day-to-day basis. That takes self-discipline.
Yeah.
And so we could do an entire podcast about discipline, because it's super pivotal for people to be successful.
Yeah. Have you heard of the marshmallow experiment with the kids?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because that's discipline. That's won't power.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between willpower and won't power?
Well, it's discipline.
Right.
You're using discipline in both cases, but the willpower is doing something, starting something, finishing something, doing something. The
so
won't power is not doing something. So if I couldn't get to my big rock in the morning and I have to do it in the evening, and it's harder because there's less PFC energy, then the willpower to the inertia to get that big rock going is reduced. And so is my won't power to just do something easier that's going to give me some instant gratification, like checking off some emails.
So you'd say won't power isn't necessarily towards something negative. It could be like saying you won't do something that's positive as well.
Yes.
Okay. So it could be both.
It could be both.
Okay.
It could be value-based.
Okay.
So, fathers want their daughters to be safe, and they want them to make really good decisions in life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those decisions are won't decisions. Same with sons. I mean, it's not just daughters, but I just say fathers and daughters because, you know, I have a daughter, and you know, it's different. It's different.
It is.
Yeah.
And you're a little girl, you know.
I know.
So
yeah.
Different.
Right. And so, you know, being overprotective and stuff like that, you want them to have really good won't power, because if you kind of expect your son to do dumb things, right? Because that's what boys do. And the interesting reason for that is physical. And the reason is the brain develops from the back to the front, and girls develop their brain faster than boys. And so the PFC is the last part of the brain to develop. Girls have a pretty good PFC by the time they're 14 or 15. And then it's pretty much done by 18 or 19 for the most part. For boys, 30 years old.
No way.
They're doing dumb stuff all through their 20s, because their PFC, the decision-making part of the brain, is underdeveloped. So they essentially have brain damage until they're around 30. And that's why car insurance for boys
is high until they're
25.
Yeah.
And then it comes down. And I think for girls too, just because they don't want to be, you know, they don't want to discriminate. But
yeah.
They could cut it off for girls at 18
worse,
or 19,
it's worse for boys
but
for
boys for 25. Yeah. So, you know, we just kind of expect our, and being a boy myself, I remember back in all the stupid things. It's amazing I'm still alive. It's a miracle I'm still alive because of all the dumb stuff
really?
That I did when
well,
I was younger.
Give us an example.
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, come on.
Maybe.
Come on. For the camera. No? Little story. Come on. I told the tripping story where I fell down the stairs. That was a good one.
That would not compare to my pipe bomb story.
Oh, a pipe bomb story. Now I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Come on.
Thinking it would be really fun to, because, you know, we were into fireworks and firecrackers and.
Of course, you want to see things blow
M-80s,
up.
M-80s, yeah, stuff like that. Yep. You got to blow stuff up. And mm-hmm. so we just, oh, you know, what are these pipe bomb things? So you go to the hardware store and you buy the pipe and then the end caps, you drill the hole in the middle. I shouldn't be telling people how to make one. So.
Do not do Philly, anything that's yeah, talked do, about in this
do not
film.
Try this at
yes,
home.
Do not try this.
Especially in the home, like I did. But, you know, and then you know, assembly. Luckily, it didn't go off, so we did something wrong. But, and we were plenty far away, but who knows, you know, what could have happened in the assembly process and the lighting process and so just stuff like that where I could have just easily killed myself.
So you're just like trying to do something fun and it was just turning out not.
And I was like 17 or 18 when I was doing
that. Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
If I had a 17 or 18 year old girl with me, she'd be like, you're insane. What the frick? What are you thinking? And if I knew what my brain, the difference in its development, I would say, well, I'm not thinking.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing this. Because I don't have a fully developed PFC like you do.
So sad.
But yeah.
That's amazing though.
Yeah, but that's why girls tend to also have willpower and want power sooner than boys.
So interesting. I did not know that about men and women.
Well, good timing because now, you know, when you have your own kids, you'll know why your boy is such an idiot and the girl seems more sensible.
Well, it's so funny that you say that, too. The idiot part is really direct, but yes. So we went to an Easter egg hunt, and it was like, you know, there's different age groups and stuff, and all the girls are just getting it. They're just picking up all the eggs, you know, putting them in the basket, you know. They're opening them up before they put them in to make sure there's candy, mm-hmm. and the boys are just like, you know,
yeah.
Like finger in their nose or like they're picking up a bunch of eggs and they're throwing them everywhere, like knocking people over. And I'm like, just look at the difference between the women and the men.
Yeah,
and
no impulse control.
So funny to me.
Yeah.
It just, because it really does look like that. And there are times where guys will do things and I'm like, how could you not foresee that happening? Like, have you seen America's Funniest Home Videos?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. YouTubes are full of guys being idiots.
Well, it's just hilarious because it's just like, wait, how do you not understand that you're about to get hit in like a really wrong place and you're not seeing it right now? And then it happens and you're like, well, told ya. You weren't here for me to tell you, but you know.
All right.
It's just so bad.
But yeah. Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Even things like driving up to the garage door here. Because I'm behind someone, they drive up and they pull all the way up to the door and then they start looking for their clicker.
Uh-huh.
Whereas I'm getting my clicker out at the intersection back there.
Right.
And then by the time I get to the door, before I even pull around into the driveway, I'm clicking it. And so, because I'm thinking ahead.
Do you think that's just a focus problem though? That they're not focused on like the task at hand? Because it doesn't have really, it's their PFC, right? Like that decision-making type thing. Because you're talking about you, right? But it could be a female or a male that's in front of you doing that.
Yeah.
Are you talking about male versus women? Or are you talking about? Okay, so you're just talking about people in general.
Yeah. Oh, they're fully grown adults who have just, their PFC is just gone. Because it's atrophied. They haven't been working it out. They're the reactionary person instead of.
There's no thinking ahead.
No thinking ahead, yeah.
Yeah.
But another quick one to do is a breathing exercise. Mm. And this is another way to get more space back in your PFC and more energy for willpower and won't power. Good decision making.
Should we practice?
And yeah.
Okay.
So breathe in. So you're breathing in forcefully through the nose and then out through the mouth. but then through the mouth, it you just relaxed exhale. So it's not a controlled exhale. So it's just a quick, forceful breathe in to activate fight or flight, and then just total relaxation, breathe out to deactivate fight or flight.
Okay.
So go quick in and then out. Yeah, quick in, relax it out. In, out. Keep going and count it out, because you're going to do 30 of these and you're going to start to feel hyperventilated and dizzy, and that's okay. And then just crank in. It can be less than 30 if you start to feel dizzy sooner, but usually it's around 30 when people feel, and it might be more than 30 if you're not feeling dizzy. But
wow,
the point is,
hot.
Is to start. That's the other, keep going. That's the other thing, especially with the nose breathing. And I tell people when they're hot to like skiing or stuff, start doing that. Yeah.
I don't like it. It makes my head like want to blow up.
I know. Keep going. Right. Five more. You don't like it because you're activating fight or flight. And it's not a good feeling. And now on your next exhale, keep the air out. And now just hold the non-breath. So hold empty lungs 15 seconds or more. So you're resisting breathing in as long as you can. This is your won't power. Right now, you're exercising your won't power. You don't want to faint or turn blue or anything, but
okay.
Yeah. And then
he's like, but, you're turning a different color.
But when you're hyperventilated, you'll be able to do that longer.
Wow. That was wild.
Yeah. So that was one cycle. So then you want to do two more. So it's three total cycles. And then on the end, on the third cycle, after you've finished your breath out, when you have to breathe in again,
yeah,
do it. But now hold full lungs.
Oh.
And then you'll get an endorphin rush.
It's a high. Wild. Honestly, it was so wild because I was like, from the neck up, I was just like so hot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it because I was starting to feel like kind of flighty a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like a little anxiety or something.
Yeah. There's lots of things that are being activated. You're training your fight or flight system to work better.
Uh-huh.
That's good.
Yeah.
You didn't like the feeling of being in fight or flight. No one does.
No.
But most people are all day anyways. Hmm. So they need to do training to be able to control their state, to recognize when they're in it and then how to get out of it. But then it also is creating a bunch of space in your PFC.
So the holding at the end is also
that's how you
helping.
Finish it.
That's how you finish it.
On like the third finisher. Cycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why is that? Why does that happen? Do you know? Just
when you're holding?
Yeah, when you're breathing like that, and then when you're holding, do you know like the science behind why that's heating me up or like those different types of things?
Because when you're holding, you're safe now. Huh. You've got tons of air in there. Now you're comfortable. You're like, oh, okay. Everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line is you feel safe now.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole time you were doing the breathing exercise, you're activating your fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
You're turning it on inhales. You're turning it off exhales. Mm-hmm. Then you're turning it on again. When you keep the empty lungs, even though you could do it because you're hyperventilated longer than you could if you weren't,
right. It's
still activating the fight or flight. And then at the very end, with the inhale, off. And then you feel euphoric. It's a good thing. You feel great. You feel comfortable. It's also over. And so then that's why it's such a good training and a good feeling for the fight flight system.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. It's actually fight, flight, or freeze. Cause some people do that third option, the freeze. So you're training that part of it too, because when the exhale holding the exhale, you're freezing. And then when you inhale and you hold the full lungs, you're freezing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really training fight, flight, freeze.
Right.
To work right. And for you to be able to control it.
Okay.
And be in charge of that.
Very cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there you have it. That's all I have to say about Lyot. Boom.
Think. Boom goes dynamite. Or the, what's it called? The pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Boom goes the pipe bomb.
Boom goes the pipe bomb.
So funny.
And that's all I have to say about that.